G'day, g'day, it's Andy Kay.
Do you like that?
No.
Well, I loved it, so shut up. So I have got something here that I'm really passionate about, and I want to talk about with Robbie today because that's the only person here with me. Systems, structures, processes. So I saw this really cool thing the other day on Instagram, and I sent it to you, and it said, it was a meme, and it said this: systems are the reason why McDonald's can be run by 16-year-olds that can't even tidy their room.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my business, right? Mm. The people in my team that I lead know what they are doing every single day. When they look at what task they have to do, they have work instructions for that because I've planned it, right? That's a bit less just doing, and it's a bit more thinking in that sense, a bit more preparation. I wanted to ask you, I know your story about how you came into business and all this sort of stuff, but over time, you had to surely implement work instructions or processes that people had to follow in all sorts of different roles in the business. Like, you got an admin team, right? Mm-hmm. You have a team of agents. You got a PM team. What other teams you got?
Marketing team.
Marketing, all this sort of shit, right? Talk to me about how you've implemented processes and systems and structures and all this sort of stuff along the way.
Okay. As much as I would love to take credit for it, I did not implement these structures. I put the right people in who knew how to do it. Because I definitely could not do what our admin team do or what our marketing team do or what our property management team do. I couldn't do any of those things. I don't have the experience in it, and I'm probably the least organized person ever. But what I did do is I found people who were good at it. So we've got Ebony, who's our team leader in admin. So she's in charge of the admin team, and she's incredibly organized. So she's gone in and improved all of our processes. So when she came on board, she improved all the systems and processes that we had. Prior to her, somebody else made those systems. When I took over the business, agents had to do their own admin. And as the business grew, we hired an admin person, and the admin person's job was to do, you know, basic stuff, contract processing, Form 6 processing, that sort of thing. As we grew, and after I fully bought the business and took over, I realized that our admin processes could be a lot better. And it's a service that I could provide to my agents if I improve our admin team. So I hired more administrators. There was a period where I hired 5 all at once. We'd gone from one administrator to 5 administrators. And I had no idea what I wanted them to do. Okay. Oh, sorry, I knew what I wanted to achieve, but I didn't know how to do it. So they came up with the systems and processes and whatnot.
So you told people what you needed being done, and then you just left them to it. You let them figure it out, and then you recorded all the work instructions or processes and just found, hey, this is good, that's good, let's use this as best practice, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's essentially a checklist. What I would then do is sit down with them regularly and refine it and say, well, do we really need to do this step? Is this step really necessary? I think this is taking too much time.
Yeah.
Or I'd say, hey, we're missing something here. And the way I would do that is by taking feedback from the team. So if I noticed that an agent was upset because something didn't happen, or if I noticed that all of the agents seem to be inconsistent with something, then, for example, you have to get disclosure statements when you sell a property with a body corporate. And so I realized that some of the agents were ordering their disclosure statements right when they get the listing. Some of them were ordering the disclosure statement right when they get a contract and then had to scramble to go and get one. And I was like, well, hang on, that's something we could do, right? It's just a little example. So what we did is I went to the admin team and said, hey, let's find one disclosure statement company, whoever's going to be reliable and whoever's going to get it to us quickest, and let's start using them. And for every time we get a Form 6, a new listing in, we'll then order the disclosure statement straight away so that it's ready, so we don't have people scrambling.
Very good.
It's just little examples like that. And now that seems like the most basic thing ever, because I'm pretty sure everyone does that. But
yeah, so obviously you're minimizing the time that tasks take, right, as well. And at the start, like, we had one person, I remember, that was doing admin and marketing and all this sort of stuff, right? Do you find that it naturally becomes easier when you've got different departments and individual jobs? And does it become easier when one person isn't doing 50 different things at once?
I think it depends on what the work is. Right. So in this case, we did have it like that. So we had one person handles new listings. The next person handles all the marketing for the listings. Then somebody else would handle the contracts. And then somebody else would do the trust account
processing.
Each line
of the conveyor belt.
Like a conveyor belt. And we worked out that at certain times, if somebody was sick, then that part of the conveyor belt was missing. If somebody else let the team down, didn't get their job done in time, or what would happen quite often is, for some reason, it would seem like the whole team would list a lot 1 week, but not sell a lot. So one of the people on the conveyor belt are really busy while the others aren't.
Of course.
Then naturally that would turn into a whole bunch of sales with not many listings. So then another part of the conveyor belt's busy, and then they'd all be settling. So another part's busy. And so what we identified is that it's actually better to have one person that does the full service, and then we split up the agents. So that's our current system, which you'd be familiar with. So right now we have multiple administrators all doing the same task, but the work is split up. And now it's much easier because if somebody's sick, somebody else can take over their workload, or their workload can be divided up. What made the biggest difference was actually having a leader, having somebody step up and take charge of it instead of having it be on me to continually improve the processes. That freed up a hell of a lot of my time. And now I say to Ebony, I say, here's what I want to achieve, make it happen. And she does.
Awesome.
And if somebody on the team lets her down, then ultimately she's got to answer to me. So she'll fix that problem before I even know about it. You know, which is really, really cool. And if she can't fix it, she'll come and ask for help. But very rarely does that happen because she's an effective leader. So the biggest difference was implementing a leader who can oversee those processes.
Of course.
And so it's the same thing in property management. We have a really well-run property management team, but I know nothing about property management. That's because Chris runs our property management team and he's really good at making sure all those things happen. I give this advice to any business owners or leaders. If it's not your area of expertise, don't try and perfect it.
Yeah.
And the other thing I say is don't try and perfect your systems until you're actually doing it. So come up with a structure or some sort of plan and then perfect it as you go. And if you, to use your McDonald's example earlier, that's how they did it. And granted, I'm basing my knowledge of that off the movie, The Founder.
I knew you were gonna say that.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
But if you watch the movie, and how they actually improved their processes was they just started. The McDonald's brothers, they started their restaurant and started making burgers, and they realized, hang on, this part of the process is taking too long. We can fix that. This part of the process isn't working as well, so we can implement a change here and that will fix that process. And that's how they did it. It's literally the theme of our podcast. Stop planning and start doing.
Yeah.
People sit figure for
it
so
out along
long.
The way.
Yeah. They sit for so long trying to figure out what they should be doing and how to make their process perfect before they start.
Yeah.
I gave this advice recently to somebody who has a brilliant business idea. He was just happened to be telling me about it, and I was like, oh my God, tell me more. This is incredible.
Right.
And he's pretty much got everything ready to go. But I said, so just start. And he's like, oh, but it's not ready yet. I said, why isn't it ready?
What's ready? Yeah.
Yeah. I said, just start. Start on me. I don't care. The quicker you get this up and running, the quicker I can, you know,
make some money off it somehow.
I said to him, I will be your first customer. And he messaged me over the weekend saying that he's found a guinea pig that he's just going to start and do a free trial and just work out the kinks as he goes. So
I'm hoping this isn't a cosmetic surgeon, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
Look, obviously this advice does not apply to doctors, I hope. Look, I'm not the best at any part of my business. I'm really good at putting the right people in the right place.
Yeah.
That's me. I am definitely not the best at any part of what we actually do here in my business, but I've put the right people in who can implement the processes to make everything happen. And then ideally I sit there and I say, here's what I would like to happen. Can you make that happen?
Yeah, I think that's really good that you leave it with your staff and you empower them. And hey, you know how to hire people that are smarter than you in a sense and do that sort of stuff. Something that I figured with myself, I have been guilty of micromanaging in the past, right? When I was new to leadership. But what I find is if you micromanage, it's the biggest killer of creativity and new ideas flourishing and emerging and better ways of things to be done and processes and all that sort of stuff. So you just got to not micromanage your people. Tell them what you want. Let them figure it out. Otherwise, it's just your brain working the whole freaking time. Mm. And then they start to despise you, blah, 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 all that sort of shit. You don't need that. So if you just, as Robbie said, tell them what you need. Tell them what the goal is. Let them figure it out. And you might have a few other people who have some input as well. And
I try to avoid micromanaging at all times. Another thing I do too is I look at all of my agents have processes, but they don't always follow their processes. That's something I've noticed is just setting one doesn't mean it's going to be followed. Because quite often it takes discipline to follow a process. And
yeah.
I'd say this is the same in any industry. Salespeople are notorious for not following processes. So what I realize is I need to take as many jobs away from them as possible to let them just do what they're good at doing, which is selling. And a good salesperson shouldn't have to do anything but sell. And obviously there's always going to be other things that they need to do. But I believe I'll get the most out of my salespeople if I can put them in a position where that's all they have to do.
Yeah.
And so I try to take as many tasks away from them.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think, you know, most of the time they appreciate it because this is one less thing they have to do. But then also they should have their own systems that help them with prospecting. And this would be the same for any salesperson or real estate agent or whatever. You should have some sort of structure where you prospect in the morning, ideally, but you get your prospecting done, you get your follow-ups done, you then sit down in front of people and you sign them up. It's pretty basic stuff. But there's no one size fits all.
Of course.
And we get some of the best agents in the industry come in and do talks for us. And you notice they all say similar things, but they all have different processes. And they all have different things that they say works and whatever. But ultimately what it comes down to is they're consistent and they're disciplined. And they follow whatever process they've set for themselves.
Yeah.
Because really there's so many different ways.
To get to the one goal.
Yeah.
It's like how you say to your team, hey, this is what I need done. This is the one goal. Mm-hmm. All of us agents, for example, know what goal needs to be achieved.
Yep.
And who cares how you get there as long as you get there.
Yeah. But if you look at the best, right, the very best, they come with an open mind. They're willing to pivot when necessary. They're willing to change. If I show an agent who's writing $4 or $5 million commission a better way to do what they're doing, they're very unlikely to sit there and say, no, you're wrong.
Because it could
make
another
million.
No, I've
been doing it this way for so long, blah, blah, blah. No, they'll change. I recently had dinner with someone like this who is a multi-million dollar agent, and he was telling me all about his business and everything he does. And I gave him this one little bit of advice that to me just seemed so obvious. And I think not just me, but anyone looking at his business would have gone, why don't you just do this? And he went, wow, you've just made me an extra $1 million this year. And I was like, well, you're paying for dinner.
Did he?
No. But I find it happens to me too. The most obvious thing, you don't see it when you're in it.
Of course, sometimes it helps to have that third party perspective, right? Absolutely. That makes sense. I think going back to the theme of the episode, systems and processes, have you recently implemented any systems and processes that have, I suppose, things that have been groundbreaking that you've realized, holy shit, this is the important sort of stuff that I need to get back to and operating rhythms, work instructions, any of that sort of stuff? Or are you honestly just a believer of figure it out slowly as you go?
Yeah, sometimes you come back to things that you used to do. Like that happens to me sometimes. It happened to me in a training session. I was running a training session talking about something I used to do and then went, but hang on, I haven't done this in ages. Why have I stopped doing this? What the hell? I should be doing this. And yeah, it's just, it does happen quite often. But yeah, I do that quite often. I'll have something that I do really well. And over time, I stop doing that because you start getting results or things start happening. Yeah. And then you stop doing it and you almost forget. It's like you can't forget what got you here in the first place.
Yeah,
but I do that all the time. And I would say a lot of people do the same. It is really good to get refreshers and get reminders and go, oh, hang on, that's something I used to do that I don't do anymore. Why don't I re-implement that? And it's like riding a bike. You know, you come back to do the same thing you've done previously. It's not like you forget.
Yeah, I get you. But I suppose the message really is that it's all good and well to have system structures, processes, all this sort of stuff, work instructions. But if you're not actually doing them consistently, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. And sometimes that can be really hard. Following the process consistently can be really difficult, especially if the task is boring, but it's what will result in success. And if you know that there's a way that works, then just do the way that works.
Exactly. Because when I first started as a real estate agent myself, I was like, what the hell do I do every day? And I sort of knew the basics, right? Do these phone calls, but there was a lot of gaps in my day. And so I kept doing the phone calls, but then you get business and you got to know how to service that business. Without processes, you're screwed. Without having a to-do list.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I think, the most powerful. We've talked about this on another podcast. A to-do list is the most powerful thing you can have in your ideal calendar of what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, to-do list, absolutely. I did a talk about this today.
On what?
A to-do list. About what'd you say? I spoke about how some days you don't feel very productive or you don't feel like you achieved anything.
Yeah.
So then I said, okay, well, then who has a to-do list? A daily to-do list. And about half the room put their hand up. And I said, well, if you finish everything on your to-do list, then you achieve something. And I don't know about you, but when I cross something off my to-do list, I feel satisfied. I get that little endorphin rush that's like, oh yeah, cross that off, right? And if I finish my to-do list for the day, especially if I finish it before the end of the day, oh my God, that's the best feeling in the world. So I said to the team, then how the hell are you not achieving anything some days? That means
they're not following their processes, right?
Or they're not setting a to-do list.
True.
Set your to-do list the day before and that's all the process you need sometimes.
That's right. Yeah, I think keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple. Results will follow. In terms of how you feel after achieving things, that's another podcast theme, I think. We've just unlocked that. But is there anything else you wanted to add, Robbie? We wrap it up here.
Let's wrap it up.
You beauty. Thanks, everyone.